Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's October 24th. I'm Jonathan Linden, in for Elizabeth Arkalian. We are in the middle of a festival that brings millions together to celebrate light and the good of others.
It's a time of the year where we get together. They get new gifts, new presents. Lots of different foods, items are prepared. Lots of sweets are prepared.
More about the Diwali holiday celebrated by many in the Indian community and our visit to a Fresno temple coming up. But first, these headlines. Officials are investigating an alleged scam that hit the Fresno Unified School District. News website GV Wire reports the school district was allegedly scammed into paying just over $2 million to someone impersonating a member of a construction company. The alleged fraud took place last February, but county officials discussed the issue at a closed meeting earlier this week, according to GV Wire. While some of the funds have already been withdrawn, a bank is withholding the rest. Fresno's police department is among many preparing for a new law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom. As KVPR's Carrie Klein reports, it aims to increase transparency around artificial intelligence, increasingly being used by police.
Fresno was one of the state's first police departments to adopt Draft 1. It's an AI tool that can generate a police report based off of the audio from body cam footage. The new law requires a disclosure on every page of a report that relied on generative AI tools, as well as an audit trail. The aim is to prevent AI-generated bias or errors in police reports, which are crucial in charging and sentencing. The law's sponsors are celebrating its passage, including Bay Area State Senator Jesse Areguin and the California Public Defenders Association. Fresno PD was one of the first in the state to adopt Draft 1. A spokesperson says the new law will not be burdensome and that the agency already implements many safeguards now required. The law goes into effect in January. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
This month, Governor Gavin Newsom also signed off on a law that aims to help address maternity deserts in our state by making it easier to run birth centers. The law comes after reporting from our news partner, Cal Matters, who found California has lost close to 60 maternity wards in the last 10 years. Cal Matters reporter Kristen Wong has more.
For Californians who may now be hours away from a hospital maternity ward, birth centers, where midwives can do deliveries for low-risk pregnancies, can be a welcome alternative. But there's a catch. Birth centers can't get a state license unless they're located 30 minutes or less from a hospital with labor and delivery services. If they don't have a license, they often can't take insurance. So, as hospital maternity wards have shut down, it has also made it harder for licensed birth centers to expand. The new law will remove the 30-minute mandate starting January 1st.
That was Kristen Wong with Cal Matters. California voters could decide next year whether to impose a one-time tax on billionaires to make up for federal cuts to health care. A small portion of the 5% tax would also fund K-12 education. The Service Employees International Union is backing the proposal. Proponents say it will help save lives, but they have to collect more than 870,000 signatures before it can qualify for the November 2026 ballot. CSU Bakersfield has a new beer. It's called Runner's Gold and is part of a partnership between CSUB and two local breweries. Runner's Gold will be available at home basketball, volleyball, and wrestling events starting next week. Proceeds will support the school's athletic department.
If you start your day with Central Valley Daily and are looking for a companion program in the afternoon, there's All Things Considered. Hi, I'm Sarith Hawk. Each weekday afternoon, I'm on KVPR's broadcast, bringing you the day's local and national news. Join me for All Things Considered, weekdays from 3:30 to 6 on KVPR. You can also stream us online at kvpr.org, through your smart speaker, and on the KVPR app.
And now to our main story. In North Fresno, at the corner of Ness and Maple Avenues, is the BAPS Shrin Swaminarayan Mandir. Mandir means it's a Hindu temple. It has an intricate stone-like exterior and 14 pillars with elaborate carvings welcome me in. There, I meet Tushar Patel. He's wearing all white and a traditional kurta tunic, which goes down to his knees.
Well, it's great to meet you, and yeah, thanks again for...
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah.
Come right in.
Yeah.
Tushar is a volunteer at the Mandir. Today, we're meeting to chat about an upcoming celebration the temple is hosting for Diwali and the Hindu New Year. But before we get into that, he gives me a tour around the place and walks me into what he calls the inner sanctum.
Right this way.
The floor is covered with a red carpet with elaborate designs. At the end of the room is an altar, or what Tushar calls a sihasan. The sihasan is a distinct gold color and holds a variety of statues representing a Hindu god.
In this inner sanctum, what you're seeing are the various images of God. We don't use the word idol because these are images of God that have been consecrated by our gurus, our spiritual enlightened figures.
At the center of the sihasan sits a picture of the current guru.
So just like in Catholic religion, where you have the Pope. So in our faith, we also have the same thing where we have these gurus that are kind of like a lineage. And the present guru that we have is Mahant Swami. So he is our guiding light. He is our North Star.
Tushar also explains that they only have one God.
It may seem like you're seeing a lot of gods, but in reality, Hinduism is a monotheistic religion. It is not polytheistic. There is one divine energy, one divine form, and during various times in history, when there has been chaos, disorder, calamities, different forms of that same being has reincarnated or incarnated on earth and done what they had to do to bring order back into that era, whatever that time period was.
After walking through the inner sanctum, we get into a discussion about the Mandir's upcoming celebration of Diwali and the Hindu New Year. Diwali is commonly called the Festival of Lights and takes place over 5 days, each day celebrating something special, like good over evil. This Mandir is holding a celebration this weekend. The holiday is celebrated by Hindus and other religions, including Sikhs and Jains. Tushar tells me more.
Diwali is reigning in the new year. So it's absolutely a very festive and joyous occasion. And there's a lot of historical background to it. But as far as little kids are concerned, as far as families are concerned, it's a time of the year where we get together. They get new gifts, new presents. Lots of different foods, items are prepared. Lots of sweets are prepared. It's something that we all look forward to year round because this is raining in the new year. We get to meet family and friends that we typically don't meet throughout the year. There are a lot of activities that happen in the Mandir itself. It brings us together. And it's a celebration. It's a celebration of, and you probably heard this more often than not, you know, victory of light over darkness, good over evil, knowledge over ignorance. But it's more about rekindling the diya. Diya are those oil lanterns, rekindling that light in your heart and reflecting, introspecting, and seeing what changes we can make going forward for the new year that's ahead to be a better person.
It seems like to me, in our conversation, like meditation is really an important part of your faith.
It is. You know, we chant certain mantras for us. It's the Swaminarayan Maha Mantra. You know, in this day and age, there's so much input, all kinds of input. You know, we're just inundated with input. And so much of it is, it's all unfiltered. And it can drive you crazy. And meditation and chanting of the mantra is hitting the brakes. And kind of like just closing your eyes, closing your ears, and just opening your mind to what could be, which is, you know, just peace and quiet and connecting with your guru, connecting with your God. Because there is, you know, I don't know the science behind it, but there is a calming and soothing effect to that. So that really plays a role, and that is something that that's also our source of strength. When everything is, you know, not going right, it could be something personal, something at work, something in my family, something in the world that just bothers me. We feel like this is the remedy to bringing some degree of normalcy and calmness.
And so Diwali is often called the Festival of Lights. Is there any specific symbolism behind the lights and why that's significant?
Yes, so it's just like when there's darkness all around you and a simple diya is lit, that light shines brighter than 50,000 lights put together. And again, it's the same symbolism that there is, you know, darkness could be, you know, could be greed, it could be impulsivity, it could be jealousy, and how can we walk away, get away from that? And just like the word guru, when you hear the word guru, G-U-R-U, gu means dispeller, ru means darkness. So guru is a dispeller of darkness, and what is those darkness? Of our vices. Yeah.
So this Saturday, your mandir will be hosting a Diwali celebration and, you know, celebrating the Hindu New Year. What are some of the special traditions that you all will be partaking in?
So we will be dressed in new traditional outfits. There will be a lot of positive energy everywhere. There will be lots of food everywhere. There will be lots of aartis and, you know, offerings to God and chanting those hymns, offering for the food to get consecrated. Then we will have different stations here that will be explaining the importance of Diwali from that particular individual or station's perspective. Kids will get to play. So it's going to be one of those events where, for us, it's ringing in the new year, but then to contemplate on what should we do in the upcoming year. At the same time, you know, let individuals from other walks of life, other faiths, come in and get to see what we are and to hear about, you know, what we have in common with our fellow mankind. I think that's really important. And then, you know, essentially getting the blessings from our gurus, and hopefully we can imbibe them in our life.
That was my conversation with Tushar Patel. He volunteers with the BAPS Sri Swaminarayan Mandir in Fresno. This Saturday from noon to 3, they'll be hosting a Diwali and Hindu New Year celebration. It's also worth noting that starting next year, Diwali will be honored as an official California state holiday. And that is today's show. Before I go, I did want to take some time to honor my mother, Carol Linden. This past Sunday, she passed away after a battle with several health issues. Throughout my life, my mom has always served and helped others, and I will definitely take that legacy with me as I continue my career in journalism. I love you, Mom, and I will truly miss you. Today's episode was produced by me, Jonathan Linden, Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.